So this morning we are hopefully on lesson 7. Yes. Empowering the disciples. And we're going to look at Matthew chapter 10, verses 1 through 8. Matthew chapter 10, verses 1 through 8. All right. Anybody have that this morning? Brother Hall, I'm not going to pick on your wife this morning. Amen. No matter how hard you try. Amen. You got that, Brother Rick? All right. Here.
And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Knew the names of the 12 apostles are these: the first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus, and Lebicus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans sent thee not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And ye go and preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give.
Hallelujah. Our focus verse this morning is verse 1. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them, everybody say, power. Against unclean spirits, to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Hallelujah. Our focus thought this morning, the special mission Jesus sent the apostles on was a limited version of what was to become the Great Commission. There were some limitations. He gave them power to go, but there were some limits on where he wanted them to go and the purpose of their mission. And so today we are talking about empowering the disciples. Anybody remember Superstorm Sandy? We give our storms that absolutely just wipe us out, we give them such lovely names. Yeah. Let's give it a nice, pretty name, and then let it come and absolutely destroy the eastern seaboard. At least 253 people were lost, billions of dollars in destruction, property damage. There was widespread electrical outages. In Jamaica alone, 70% of the residents were without electricity. New York was plunged into darkness. Could you imagine? In total, some 8,100,000 homes were left without electricity in 17 states. Superstorm Sandy. We have to ask ourselves if much of the religious world of our day is not suffering a time of power failure. Power failure. The source of power for the apostolic believer lies beyond his own capability. Or his own human resources. We have no power in ourselves. Our power comes from on high. Hallelujah. We need the Holy Ghost in our lives. We need the power of God working in and through us. Christ's disciples were incapable of spreading the gospel without the dynamic presence of the Holy Ghost. tarry until ye be endued with power from on high. How could the 120 disciples of the upper room have turned their world upside down if it had not been for the power that they had in their lives? Could they have turned the world upside down had they suffered a power failure, a blackout, or as we have in Sterling, brownouts, power surges all the time? You ever feel that in your walk with God? There's like Friday nights in our walk with God, and man, we're feeling plugged in to the power of God in our lives. And then Saturday morning rolls around and you just barely can get out of bed. The world is against me. Everybody hates me. I got three texts that said they don't like me before 8 o'clock in the morning. I don't feel very powerful this morning. Power surges. Help us, God, today to be even keeled in our walk with God and stay connected to the true power in our life. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. There is no power failure in Christ. His power remains the same yesterday, today, and forever. There is no power failure in Christ. He remains the same. Our dependence on Him determines our success as witnesses in a darkening world. The miracles of Jesus Christ were compelling testimonies and signs of divine authority. Even Nicodemus, a Pharisee, member of the Sanhedrin, was brave enough in the environment that he lived in to say, "No man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." That took some guts for a man in his position to say and to admit that no one could do what Jesus did unless God be with him. And yet many of the Jewish leaders were incensed by the fact that Jesus claimed the same authority as God himself. They were a little upset at this Jesus character who claimed to be and act as though he were God. Little did they know or understand that he was God in the flesh. He was breaking their man-made traditions, their man-made laws, authority over the Sabbath, and authority to forgive sin. Well, who can forgive sin but God? Well, there you go. There's your answer. You got it. You got it figured out. But no, they didn't have it figured out. When the Jews at Jerusalem picked up stones to stone him, Jesus declared, "If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe me not, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him." There is simply no power like that of Jesus Christ. There is no one else who can so empower others. I'm so thankful today that God shares with us, gives to us. It's not just God on the throne and us down here begging and pleading for just something, anything at all, but God willingly shares, willingly gives his power through through the Holy Ghost in our lives, amen, so that we can work in his power. Not of our own power, not to get glory unto ourselves, but it's all for him. Hallelujah. We don't have to go into the hospital room and say, "Okay, God," okay, God, show up, like he's not there already, you know. Our omnipresent God. Say, "Okay, God, it's time for you to show up, and there's a healing that needs to take place." We say that, and some of it is just the tradition of our wording and how we pray and different things like that. But God is already there. We walk into the room under the power of the Holy Ghost, and we pray in the name of Jesus. Things are going to happen. Hallelujah. Things are going to happen. Healings will take place in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We can work in the authority and the power of the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That was not in the message here. Hang on here. So, there is simply no power like that of Jesus Christ. And He empowers us to work in that power. Hallelujah. Christ knew His vision needed to become the vision of His disciples. Our purpose needs to be His purpose. You wondering what your purpose is today? It's pretty simple. His purpose. Hallelujah. God, I don't know what I'm supposed to do with my life. I tell you, it's pretty simple. Do His purpose. Hallelujah. Find out what Jesus' purpose was. Do that, and you'll be in the perfect will of God every time. Hallelujah. His burden for the sick and the suffering must become their burden. Now in Galilee, He determined to do the 12 with a measure of His authority as He sent them out upon their mission. They would certainly need to be empowered. There was just too many forces against them, too many unclean spirits that would oppose them. There would be terrible cases of sickness and disease. Many would look for opportunities to mock the message as well as the messengers. Unclean spirits, those vile, impure demons, had always had to leave when Jesus spoke the word. Hallelujah. He has all power and all authority. Yes. Unclean spirits, vile, impure demons have to leave. Yes. Hallelujah. At the mention of His name. Hallelujah. When God speaks, they move. Hallelujah. They have no power over His name. Hallelujah. They that had met Jesus and they that had always... they had always been forced to succumb to His power. No wonder they cried out pathetically in Christ's presence and trembled at the thought of judgment. A healing ministry. There was and there is today no disease that is incurable. No disease that is incurable. Hallelujah. When Jesus was on the scene. And when Jesus is on the scene today, there is no disease or sickness that cannot be healed. Thank the Lord. There was no blind eye that could not be healed. No deaf ear that could not be unstopped. There was no paralytic beyond the opportunity to again move freely. The disciples had seen the lame walk, the lepers healed, the dead raised to life. 12 must have been affected by the Lord's great compassion. What was the Lord's purpose? What was Jesus' purpose on this earth? Seeking to save. In order to seek and to save the lost, you have to have great compassion for the lost. Hallelujah. If you want to be in the mind of Christ and you want to have His purpose, we need today to have compassion for the lost, for the hurting, for the dying, for the lost. We need to have compassion today. And the disciples were around Jesus long enough to see that this was not just the words of Jesus. This was His whole life. This was His passion. This was His passion. And He did it in His actions, not just His words. No one in Israel was to be excluded. Regardless of their condition, everyone was a candidate for help and for healing. The 12 were mandated to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. It was a simple plan. I like simple plans. I don't like opening a package and finding a book that thick for a desk. To assemble it. It's got 4 million bolts and they're all Allen key. Who came up with that? It's crazy. It's a conspiracy. Keep us all busy building desks. Amen. Bookcases. Amen. With a stripped out Allen key head. All right. Unbelievable. The plan was simple. The plan was simple. There seems to have been no daily agenda, no detailed program for the disciples to follow. Peter, James, and others were simply to have confidence in what Jesus Christ had commanded. That was the simplicity of it. Jesus sent them out, and if you'll just do what I told you to do, everything's going to work out. Stay focused on what I asked you to do. Stay focused on what I asked you to do. Don't get sidetracked by people. Don't get sidetracked by how severe diseases are, or don't get sidetracked by how bad the case may look. Just go do what I told you to do. That's a simple plan. Just go do it. Believe, have confidence in when I sent you that I will give you the power and you will be able to accomplish the mission that I sent you to do. Well, how many of us struggle with that? Right? So the plan was simple. Partners, they were sent out in pairs. Christ sent his disciples out two by two. In Matthew 10, 2 through 4, it lists disciples, or 12 disciples in twos. I don't know, maybe that was the twos that went out together. Possible. Working with a partner was a practical plan, a plan that once the church was established would be adopted by Paul and Barnabas, Barnabas and Mark, Paul and Silas, as they labored together with the power of God on their lives and with faith in their hearts. The apostles must certainly have been a dynamic force, working in pairs. Strength is added to strength, even multiplied when God's people work together. When we work together, we've seen amazing results when we get unified on a goal, on a plan. I mean, some of the things that we have pulled off in Sterling. My goodness, how in the world did just a few people come together and pull off a VBS that was absolutely amazing this year, and a fall festival, and different things that we've done together as a church, just absolutely amazing and impacted our community. Amen? People's lives were touched and changed because of us working together. One person alone could not accomplish those things. Pastor by himself could not accomplish all of those things. We have to work together. And when we do, strength is added. Hallelujah. And even multiplied when we work together. And five of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. When Peter and John went up together to pray, the lame man at the temple gate was healed. When Paul and Barnabas came to Iconium, they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake. A great multitude, both of the Jews and also the Greeks, believed because they went together. Something wonderful happens when we work in harmony with one another, one or more believers. We can expect as partners to be mutually blessed. Matthew 18:20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. There is safety in partners. Up until this point when they were sent out, they were just with Jesus. You ever go hospital visitation with your pastor? Felt like you could kick back. Pastor's got this. This is going to be great. I'll pray in the background. I'll lay my hand on Pastor's shoulder back here. Lord, touch him. Bless him, Lord, today. Amen. And then go by yourself. It's different. It's different. Go door knocking for the first time by yourself. Go hand out flyers for the first time by yourself. Don't have pastor who's got it all worked out. It's flawless. Got the all of the kinks worked out over the years and years and years. Okay, maybe not that many years, but years of doing it, and all of a sudden you're out there, and this is the disciples. They've had it easy. The master was always there doing everything for them, or at least telling them exactly what to do, and now he's just given them a purpose, and this, I'm going to give you power, and this is what you're going to do, and you're going to go do it on your own. Could you imagine the disciples, after seeing Jesus heal and do all the things that he does, can you imagine the first sickness that they came up upon? Peter, it's your turn. Bartholomew, you want to get this one? Whatever, I don't know, but it'd be a little bit nerve-wracking to be on your first sick case. Wow, that looks bad. that hand's pretty withered. Well, okay, Jesus said, he told us, he gave us power. Okay, we're going to have confidence in what Jesus told us, and we're going to have to go ahead and do what he said. And when they did, it exactly happened as Jesus said it was going to happen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when you find yourself at the hospital, at the bedside for the first time by yourself, ministering to the sick, hallelujah, have confidence that Jesus will do the work. Hallelujah. Jesus will do the work. Hallelujah. All right. So there's safety in partners. There's comfort in working together with someone. Hallelujah. There's safety. When we come together as a people, as a church, there's a confidence that grows in our spirit about what God can do. It's not that he can't do it when you're by yourself, but God knows that you and I are human beings. And there is, Jesus designed this so that we would have confidence, strength in numbers. We would understand that we can rely on our brothers and our sisters. We can rely on their prayer. If our confidence isn't where it should be, our brother's confidence might be where it should be, and we can rely on one another. There is safety in being together. Hallelujah. Christ instructed the 12 not to fear those who could kill only the body, but not the soul. First transparency this morning. I'm going to have to fly through some of this. A threefold cord is not easily broken. A threefold cord. God, another believer, yourself, is not easily broken. Not easily broken. Two are better than one. And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Now the people that they were going to minister to, there were no Gentiles initially. So thankful that we were grafted in. Hallelujah. But in the first mission, it was like the practice run. First mission, no Gentiles. The heart of Jesus Christ beat with a fervent love for the nation of Israel. And well he knew that the Jews were God's chosen people, the children of the covenant promise. Among all the nations of the world, none has been as cherished by the Almighty as this one nation. Psalms 135:4, for the Lord hath chosen Jacob unto himself and Israel for his peculiar treasure. The gospel had not been offered, or the gospel had to be offered to the Jew before it could be offered to the Gentile. This was the method of both Christ and the apostles. Fiercely opposed, by the Jews at Antioch, Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Paul wrote to the believers in Rome, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." There were no Samaritans initially. There was seed planted in Samaria, but no Samaritans initially were on this first mission. Later on in Acts 1 and 8, "Ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." But as yet it was not time. He commanded his disciples in this particular mission not to enter any city of the Samaritans. The second transparency. There was a time for sowing and a time for reaping. And the time was not yet for reaping. It was a time for sowing. It was a time for sowing. Only the lost sheep of Israel initially. That's who was first on the list on this mission. As under shepherds, the disciples were to go only to the lost sheep of Israel. The Gentiles had not been made nigh by the blood of Christ in Ephesians 2:13. And at this time, there still remained a middle wall of partition, Ephesians 2:14. But soon a new and glorious day would dawn. A new dispensation would begin, a day in which both Jew and Gentile would be reconciled to God. They were to travel lightly. No gold, no silver, no brass in their purses. It was all meant to be faith-inspiring for the apostles. Something that would leave a lasting impression in their minds. God will take care of you. God will take care of you. They should take nothing for their journey except a staff and sandals on their feet. That's it. Guess what? That means you're walking. You're walking. And then later, when they were back together, when I sent you, this is Jesus talking to his disciples, "When I sent you without purse and scrip, and shoes lacking, lacked ye anything?" And the disciples' answer to that was nothing. Lacked nothing. Everything was taken care of. We lacked nothing. They lived by faith. They lived by faith. God could supply every need, whether it was for a place to lodge, food to eat, clothing to wear. The one they served was more than sufficient and would abundantly provide. They were of more value than many sparrows. They were to stay in one place. Now, why in the world would they have to stay in one place? Why couldn't they, when they were in a town, why didn't the Lord want them staying at this house and over at this house and get to know this people and get to know that family and stay over here? Jesus did not want any distractions. None. You're there for a purpose. You will find the best place to stay and you will stay there. And as the word of your ministry begins to expand throughout this area, people will come out of the woodwork that you couldn't possibly imagine saying, "Please, stay with me, stay with me, Stay with me. We have better food at our house. We have better beds at our house. You know, we've got the latest technology at our house. You need to come stay with us. Jesus did not want the disciples distracted in any way. And so he said, when you get there, plant yourself at that house. You minister around the city, and when you go, go to the next place, and you plant yourself in a house. And you stay there. And you avoid distraction. You avoid all of the political nonsense that goes on. As soon as fame... Really? There's some guys in town, people are getting healed? You don't think that brought fame? You don't think that brought attention to them? You don't think people... Well, if you're healing, you need to stay at my house because I've got a lot of sick people in my family. You need to stay here. So, very specific. Find a house, stay there. Let's keep all the distractions out and stay focused on the purpose that God has for our life. Amen? Hallelujah. That'll preach right there. Hallelujah. Luke 10:7. And in the same house remain, eating and drinking such things that they give, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. It was about the message. It was about their purpose. Do not get distracted. The power. He gave them power. They could do nothing on their own ability. They had no power in themselves. Their own ability was going to do nothing. They must depend on Jesus. For without me, he affirmed, ye can do nothing. Power over disease, Satan, and death. Mark 6:13, and they cast out a few devils. Many devils. Many devils. Must have been a lot. Just like today. There's a lot. Hallelujah. They cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. The apostles were to minister neither for gold nor for glory. Freely ye have received, freely give. Preaching the gospel with authority shakes the kingdom of Satan to its foundation. It expels dark forces. It breaks shackles. It sets individuals free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We need the preached gospel in our life. Hallelujah. And we see, like Friday night, when the gospel is preached, lives are set free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It breaks the shackles in our lives. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. He told them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. The manner of their preaching, the disciples simply depended on God. They knew the message they were to preach. We know today what we have to preach. We know the message today. We don't have to go look for something new. We don't have to go find the latest article, the latest book that is written on the Bible or a certain topic of the Bible. We have the message today. We have the message today. We have the gospel. We have the plan of salvation today. We know what we need to preach. Hallelujah. We know. We just need to simply depend on God. Simply depend on God. The message, Luke 8:1, reveals that Jesus went throughout every city and village preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. It's okay when you're preaching the gospel to smile a little bit. Hallelujah. Even Jesus did that, showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 that were with him, they got to see the smile. They got to see the joy about this wonderful, glorious gospel that was being preached. Luke 8:5-8, although there certainly would be discouraging moments, the disciples could expect an abundant harvest, if they were faithful and diligent in their efforts, some seed would actually bring forth 100-fold. And the response, the sin of rejection. Some people might feel Christ's direction regarding those who refuse to listen to the disciples was harsh, but a rejection of the gospel is a rejection of the Lord. Don't take it personal. Don't take it personal. They're not rejecting you. A lot of times we feel as though they're rejecting us when we present the gospel. And they say, no, that's not really for me. Well, I just didn't do a good job at presenting it then. Obviously, God is not working in my life. And I'm kind of down on myself right now because they didn't receive the word. They didn't reject you. They rejected Christ. They were to, knock the dust off of their sandals? It's like, I guess I'll go to the next house. And I guess I'll go to the next house. And eventually, somebody's going to receive the gospel. It wasn't this first house didn't work, so I quit. They understood that by rejecting them, they were rejecting God, not them personally. English revivalist Leonard Ravenhill wrote a book titled Sodom Had No Bible. We also may note that neither did the city have an adequate witness before its destruction. Lot and his wife simply blended in to the landscape in the last transparency this morning. You see him? Don't allow yourself to blend into the world. Hallelujah. We need to stand out. We need to be a light. The world is so dark nowadays that you really don't even have to be that bright. So even dim-witted Christians can win the lost today. Hallelujah. I'm just messing with you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's hope for us all. Hallelujah. We don't have to be that bright. Amen, Brother Walker. Amen. We don't have to be that bright. Hallelujah. Amen. There is joy in heaven over one sinner who repents, but it is a shared joy. Hallelujah. We can rejoice as well. It spills over the hearts and into the homes of God's people who have discovered His goodness. The disciples, having seen a phenomenal response and outstanding revival, were elated. They were anxious to share their victories with their master. And the apostles, when they returned, told him all that they had done. All that they had done. Internalizing the message. I wanted to read this. This was good. The disciples became aware that they were involved in the most dynamic mission imaginable. Henrietta Mears wrote in What the Bible is All About that they were given a work to do which would make winning battles and founding empires seem of small consequence. Can you imagine? 12. I'm going to have you go to the world and reach it. 12. Okay. Sure. If that's what you want us to do, that's what we're going to do. As they went out into Galilee, they saw demons cast out, bodies healed, lives were touched by their teaching and their preaching. As they ministered, the disciples must have been deeply moved by the desperate needs of the Jewish people and in the troubles of their nation. We who are apostolic believers in this 21st century also need to read the signs around us. The signs of pain and suffering are everywhere. The very earth seems to be convulsing, trembling in anticipation of what soon is to take place. Violent and unexpected storms, horrific earthquakes in different places, devastating floods are almost the order of the day. Economic uncertainties continue to bewilder national governments, and authority is openly challenged in homes, in classrooms, and in the streets. Pornography is rampant, corrupting the moral values of young people and adults alike. Drug cartels thrive in a business that enslaves masses of people. Terrorists continue with their merciless plan to maim and to kill innocent victims. This is a day to be bold for the Lord Jesus. We have been given apostolic power through the infilling of the Holy Ghost. We have been challenged to be witnesses, not just to Israel, but to the whole world. The gospel still has the power to transform lives and to give people hope in a troubled age. Perhaps we need to take time to reevaluate our priorities this morning. Perhaps we also need to look at the fields, because they are ready for harvest. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They are ready for harvest. Let's stand this morning.